We've been going through this sermon series called Your Purpose in Life, and we're pretty far in the book of Ephesians now. We're studying through the book of Ephesians, and these are all the different topics that we've been going through, and we've been talking about how God has a purpose in this world. God himself has a purpose in this world, and because God has a purpose, we also have a purpose in this world. God has created us to save us, to make us alive with Christ. And he's given us a purpose in this new life with Christ, this purpose to belong, this purpose to share the gospel, this purpose to live for God, not for ourselves, this purpose to actually grow with the church, to be a part of the church family, and to not be alone, but to actually grow together. And God also calls us not only to just on our own, not only to grow together, but also to go out into the world and be a light. And that happens through our daily living for the Lord. It's not just something that we do on Sundays. It's not just something that we do in our community groups. But we want to live for the Lord daily in our everyday, in every moment of our lives. We want to live for the Lord. And so that's what today's sermon is about, living out your purpose daily. And this is part one. And next week, we're going to continue in part two. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to verse 32. Now, if you have your Bibles from the outside, if you have your blue Bible, we're going to be looking at page 978. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 to 32, and again, we're looking at page 978. If you do have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open it up, and there are certain parts of the sermon today where I'm not going to have the verses on the screen, so it would be great if you have your Bibles in front of you so that you could refer to it. It's okay if you have a phone version or a physical Bible, whatever version you have, please open up your Bibles, and this is the reading of God's Word. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This was the reading of God's word. We're called to be a blessing in this world. We're called to go out and share with people what God's ways are, believing that God's ways actually bring life to this world. And so we're called to be a blessing to our community. And I want us to think about, what does that look like? What does that look like in your own life? And as a church, how can we be a blessing to this community? Well, I shared in past weeks that I was going to meet with the Lijiang, and I found out what it's called in English, according to how they translate it. It's called the village chief. So our particular li, village, is called 大学里, which means university village. And so that's the area that we're going to be moving to, and that's where our original building is as well. So this is a picture of me going around giving a tour to these students from America, and some students were actually from Taiwan as well. And I was going around, and at the very beginning, I was saying, you know, this is a place that I love. I've lived here in this area, and I've taken my children, and we've played in these different parks. And I was introducing, and I said, hey, look, everyone, this is the Carolina tree. And all right, let's get going now. We're moving to the next spot. And then at the very beginning, as I was doing that, I was thinking in my mind, man, I feel like such a tour guide. And then I thought, wait a minute, that's what I am right now. That's what I'm doing. This is how I'm partnering with the community. And I didn't get a chance to let them know, you know, that's where our church is going to meet. I didn't get a chance to do that. But I did get a chance to just talk a little bit more with those that volunteer for the village, for the university village. And they were saying how wonderful it was, and they're hoping that we can continue to partner with them in different ways, especially as we're an English-speaking church, and sometimes they have needs for English speakers. And so we wanted to just continue to build that type of relationship with the community and be a blessing to them. As a church, this is what we're doing. Also, this past week, I don't have a picture of this. This is the picture afterwards. There is another picture where we're supposed to all do our little hearts and this kind of stuff, and mine just looks like a circle. Anyways, besides this, a group of us also went to the prison. We went to the men's prison, the main men's prison in Taiwan, and we got to meet believers who are in prison. And some of them, we saw like, I think it was about six-ish people that were baptized that day. And so some people, they were Christians before they went into prison, and they just kind of went off the, just falling into some bad things, and that's how they ended up in jail. But some of them, they became Christians while in prison. And some of them, they were not Christians, but they wanted to just come into an air-conditioned space, get the day off a little bit, get a couple of hours off from being in prison. And so they joined us, but they got to hear the gospel. They got to hear us sing our songs. And we also held communion with believers there, and we got to just remember that even though they're in prison and we're not, that we are still brothers in Christ, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's just a wonderful thing that we as a church, we have these different opportunities to be a blessing to the community. And I just want to invite you, the next time that we have a prison ministry or the next time that we do something for the community, another thing that we're going to do for the community in the future is that we're going to have a children's camp. It's originally mainly for our church, but then we also want to hold our events in the university village so that other people will begin to notice that we do have this camp, and that in the future we're going to make it bigger and bigger, and hopefully more children from the area will be able to come and join this camp, and they'll be able to hear about Jesus Christ. And so we have these different opportunities, and we hope that you will also be able to join in being a blessing in this community. We'll provide these different opportunities through the church. But then also, I hope that you will also begin to think about how can I be a blessing to the people in my community, in my neighborhood, in my workplace? Well, as we think about this idea of being a blessing in the community, our church might be doing these kinds of things, but we're not going to be doing these things on a regular basis. What's more important, I would say, is that each of you would be a blessing. But what that starts with is it starts with us following the Lord and living according to His ways. It starts with us in our daily lives living for the Lord with every moment of our lives. It needs to start with that. And so the main idea for today is that basic idea. Live out your purpose in your daily life through Christ Jesus. Live out your purpose in your daily life through Christ Jesus. And the three points that we'll be going through are, number one, the new life. Number two, the specifics. And number three, through Jesus Christ. We're going to be going through the passage today. So as I said, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to be looking at this and we're going to be talking about these three things. The new life, the specifics of the new life, and through Jesus Christ. Again, the main idea is that we want to live out our purpose through our daily life, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I wanted to talk about this new life. This new life. In the beginning of our passage, the context that comes before our passage today says this. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And it goes on to say, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Last time we were talking about how we need to grow in Christ, but we need to grow. God's purpose is for us to grow together with the church. And the reason why that's so important is that as we grow together in Christ, we also together become a light in this world. Now, it's very interesting. In the beginning, it says the way that we're going to start that is that we need to start speaking to each other. Okay, here in the verse, it assumes that we're speaking to each other. But we need to start talking to each other. And not only that, we need to speak the truth to one another in love. Because there are so many influences from the outside world that tell us how we should live and what our purpose in life is. But we need to speak to each other the truth with love, reminding each other what God's purpose for us is, reminding each other what right from wrong is, reminding each other that we are forgiven and that we can always look to Jesus Christ. And so as we look to the passage, what we're going to see, especially when we look at the specifics, is that there's this pattern that we find in today's passage. There's the old self, and then the new self. And then we're going to see a bunch of commands that talk about don't do something, but do something. And we're going to see this pattern throughout the passage. And so I want us to think about it in these terms. I heard another sermon recently that's based on this passage, and they wanted to talk about how it's important for us to remember that, or it's what psychology says these days, is that when you tell someone don't do something, they're going to keep wanting to do it. And so what's better is for us to tell them what to do. To not tell them not to do it, but then to tell them what to do. But instead of that, what I want to say is that no, the Bible's pattern is to think about what the old way is and what you shouldn't do. And at the same time, to talk about what we are now, what is new, and also tell what we should do. Okay, we need both. So as we think about that, let's dive into our passage. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now, when it talks about Gentiles here, I want to be very clear, because sometimes some people might think, they see this passage and they think that, you know, Paul is saying, look, all the Jews are good and all the Gentiles are bad. Gentiles being anyone that's not a Jew. But that's not the idea. What we need to think about is that when Paul is addressing the church of Ephesus, he's speaking to both Jews and Gentiles. Both Jews and Gentiles, but everyone who has become a believer in Jesus Christ. And so everyone that's a believer is now a part of the family of God. And so in a spiritual sense, anyone that's not part of the church is a Gentile in a spiritual sense. But also, let me explain a little bit further. For Jews, many Jews, even if they didn't believe in Jesus Christ, they lived a life where they wanted to follow God. They lived a life where they were kind of careful about what they were doing, whether it was right or wrong. But then Gentiles, people that weren't Jews, that believed in other gods, they didn't necessarily think about what's right from wrong. They just thought about how to appease the wrath of their God, to make sure that their God wouldn't be angry at them. And so they just needed to do some sacrifices, but then they could just live however they want outside of that. And so Paul is saying, look, some of you were Gentiles, spiritually Gentiles in the past. You guys know how the Gentiles live. They live in the futility of their minds, thinking that they're going to somehow bring about happiness in their own life and things are going to be okay in their life. But their thinking is wrong. Their thinking is empty. They don't have the truth. And they're darkened in their understanding because they're separated from God. They're alienated from God. And so, you know, all of this wrong way of thinking is happening because they're separated from God. But not only that, remember we said that God's ways will bring about life. God's ways will actually help people to make them feel better. God's ways will actually bring about more freedom in a society. And so it says these Gentiles are alienated from the life of God. And what they experience is darkness, they experience death, and these people, and it's because of their hardness of heart, they don't want to hear anything else. They don't want to hear what's true, and they want to continue living the way that they do. They have become callous, it says, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And so that's the way of life. Just living however you want, living according to what you think is right, living according to what you think is good, and at the same time, not really caring whether or not you're hurting other people. You only care about that when it affects you. Not really caring about other people, not really caring about the good of the business, not really caring about how your business might be helping other people, or how your community might be able to help other people. Not really thinking about any of these things, but thinking about helping others because it's going to help you. They just live according to what they think is right. And again, what it ends up doing is that it ends up hurting other people. That's the old. But what's the new? The new is that Paul says, that's not the way you learned Christ. People of God, church, if you are a Christian here today, or even if you're not a Christian, you've been coming to our church and you've been learning about who Jesus is. You've been learning about God's ways. That's not the way you learned Christ. You've heard about him. You were taught about him. And the truth is in Jesus Christ. And that's why at our church, every single week, we talk about Jesus. No matter what passage in the Bible we look at, we want to see that Jesus is the answer to everything. What is it that we learned? We learned to put off our old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through the desires that are in our hearts, the deceitful desires. Our hearts continue to lie to us. The world says, follow your heart. Christians say our heart can deceive us and it can take us away from God. And so we need to not look at what our heart says. We need to look at what Christ says in his word. To put off our old self and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To actually change the way we think. Not according to what the world says, but according to what the Bible says. We say, this is God's word. God's word is the truth. God's word is able to help me. God's word will bring me happiness. God's word will show me the way. God's word will help me to endure through the hard times. Because God's word is life. And I need to renew my mind. I need to change the way that I think according to what God's word says. And the last thing is to put on the new self. So we put off the old self. We change the way we think. We renew the spirit of our minds. And then we put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So let me put it a little bit differently. The old self that we put off is the old way that we live. The practices, the things that we think is good and right for us. And then we renew our mind by looking to Jesus, by saying, that is wrong. I'm going to admit that that's wrong. And then I'm going to turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are what's right. You are what's good. And that's the renewing of the mind process. Renewing of the mind is, I agree that this is not the way to live. This is not what's going to bring me happiness. And I'm going to turn to you, Jesus, now. And you, I'm going to say that you are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. You are the one that's going to bring about the true peace and the true rest that I'm looking for in my life. And then as you turn and you renew your mind, then you put on the new self. And the new self is the new way of living. Understanding what is good and right and living according to that. Making choices that show, not that show, but making choices according to what God's word says and saying, I believe that this is the truth, even though in this situation I feel like it's hard to do, but I'm going to do this because I'm going to put on this new self and I'm going to live my life according to what God's word says, believing and trusting that he's going to take care of me as I do that. Right now, as we're talking about how the Gentiles lived and how we are supposed to live, there's a lot of understanding about why we're doing this. And maybe if it's not enough right now, I'll explain more later. But it's telling us this is what we're meant to do through Christ. It's because of Jesus Christ. That's the why. But then a lot of people, sometimes they might ask the question, I understand that that's what we're supposed to do. I understand that's what God commanded me. I understand, but every time I come into that situation, I find myself sinning. I find myself not doing what God wants. I find myself not even being motivated to do that. So, Pastor, even though you're saying that this is what we're supposed to do, please tell me how am I supposed to do this? Please tell me the specific steps. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to go through the specifics. And as I talk about the specifics, I just want to quickly mention that Pastor Tim Yates, he was a previous pastor at this church. And I just want to just acknowledge that just his specific PhD study that he was doing has had an impact on me. And I'm thankful for just some of the things that he taught. The thing that he wants to really mention is how much the Ten Commandments are so important for our daily living and how it informs our lives. Now, this idea and the way that he talks about it is a particular idea. If you're interested in this, you can come and ask me. But what he's pointing to is something that's already talked about in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Not the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Westminster Shorter and Larger Catechism. Okay, if you don't know what that is, just Google it. And you'll find, just Google WLC, Westminster Larger Catechism, or WSC, Westminster Shorter Catechism. And what you'll find is you'll find a series of questions and answers, such as, what is God? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is sin? You'll find some of these questions, and if you are wondering what Christianity is about, or if you want to go deeper in understanding what Christianity is about, you'll find all the answers, a lot of answers there. Well, as a part of the catechism, it also lists out the Ten Commandments, and it tells us what is the commandment, one commandment say, what you shouldn't do, and then it also explains what you should do. What you shouldn't do, and what you should do. Sometimes we hear one of the Ten Commandments, like you should not murder, you shouldn't kill. And so we hear that, and we say, okay, I didn't kill anyone, I'm okay. But then we don't think about what's the implication of that. And so the Westminster Larger Catechism and the Shorter Catechism, they go into a little bit more detail. When it says do not kill, these are all the things that you should be thinking about. And also, what is it that you should do? For example, you should be valuing life. If the idea is do not kill, then we should be valuing life. Let me give the Ten Commandments that are on here. Right? It's not just do not kill, but it's also value life. Help people. See that life is important. And so it's not just do not kill. There's more to it. Or do not commit adultery. It's not just don't commit adultery. But on the other side, what should you do? What you should do is you should value marriage. And see marriage as an important thing. You should see faithfulness as an important thing. You should see commitment as an important thing. Even the idea of being committed to a church, the idea of commitment, can be extended out from this particular idea. And so it's not just do not commit adultery. There are all these do. You should do these things based on the Ten Commandments. And so that's what we find in the specifics of our passage today. Verse 25 says this, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Remember earlier we read these very words, speak the truth in love. And this is how we grow with the church. But then Paul is continuing this idea now and saying, look, because you are taught in Christ to put off the old self, to renew your mind, and to put on the new self, because you have been taught this way, now I want you to go back to the idea to speak to one another the truth. And it says his neighbor, but what you'll find is that this is the way that we should live our daily lives out there, but it starts here in the church. That's how we should live out there. But as we are in the church together, we need to practice living in this way. If we're not going to speak truth to people out there, or rather, I should say it this way, if we're not going to speak truth to one another here, then we're not going to do it out there. This is the place where we practice living for the Lord, and we might mess up, but this is a place where we've been forgiven, and so we're able to show grace to one another. Now, I know that there are some bad Christians out there that say, oh, you know, that guy, he hurt me. I don't want to be a part of this church anymore. Okay, I'm making fun of that situation, I know. But I know some of us have been hurt in the past. Some of us have left churches for this reason. But this is not the way you learned Christ. This is not how we should be thinking. The way we should be thinking is Christ was committed to us. Christ spoke truth to us. Christ forgave us. And that's what we need to do for one another here. Because we are members one of another. Now, going back to that idea, don't do. What's interesting is if you look at this passage, it's not just a bunch of random commands. Actually, these commands are related to the Ten Commandments. Let's look at that. Verse 26 and 27 talk about don't be angry. Or rather, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Actually, the verb there is, be angered. There's like a command to like be angered. It's kind of weird. But in your anger, do not sin. And so it's possible to be angry and not fall into sin. And it goes on to just give a little bit more specifics, like do not let the sun go down on your anger, give no opportunity to the devil. All of that's connected together. Okay, so what's the do? It's do not sin. Don't let your anger go too long. Some people take this verse and they say, oh, it says don't let the sun go down with your anger. So, oh man, I was so angry yesterday and I went to sleep angry. Oh, I failed in this thing. I let the sun go down in my anger. And some people say, you know, I'm such a good Christian. I'm so good. I never let the sun go down in my anger because that's what the Bible teaches and that's how I follow it. And some of us, we become so proud that we're following God's word in that way. That's not the point. The point here is, look, it's important that even at times when you become angry, do not sin. Don't give a foothold to the devil. Because if you remain in your anger, then that spirit of bitterness is going to continue to grow in your heart. And Satan is going to have a foothold in your heart. And he's going to use that anger for you to break apart the church. And you're not going to speak truth to one another. You're going to stay silent about your anger. And you're not going to give the opportunity in the church to resolve issues. And you're going to become angry. You're going to hurt other people. You're going to end up leaving the church. And you're going to end up breaking apart the church. So you might get angry. That's okay. But in your anger, do not sin. Next one. This one has to do with the eighth commandment. Sixth commandment is do not kill. And it's related to anger because Jesus made that connection when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Eighth commandment, verse 28. Eighth commandment is do not steal. It says do not steal, but rather labor. Don't steal, do labor. Do good work. Work hard at your job. Don't be lazy. Work hard. And be honest with your work. And it gives even another motivation so that you have enough to be able to share with other people. You have enough for yourself and you have the ability to share with other people. And so don't steal, but work hard so that you'll be able to share. Work hard so that you'll be able to give offering to the church. Work hard so that you're able to give money to those that are in need, even missionaries that are raising support. Work hard. Don't be lazy. And then verse 29 points to the ninth commandment. And this is about the commandment that says, do not give false testimony. And some people, they summarize it as do not lie. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, when you talk, don't give false testimony. Don't slander. Don't talk about things that is corrupting. When you talk to someone about another person, you're corrupting their mind to think about that other person in a bad way. Don't give false testimony. Rather, speak what is good for building the other person up, to help encourage the other person, to encourage them to look to Christ. Sometimes this means pointing them to the truth. They might not like it, but pointing them to the truth is a way to point them to Jesus Christ. And so use your words to help build people up. And it says specifically, as fits the occasion, sometimes your wonderful words of trying to help build someone up is not really helpful. And so we want to be discerning. You know, is this the right time to tell them what the right way is? Is this the right time, or should I hold what I'm about to say and wait for a better time? Or should I hold it and wait till my heart is in a right place before I tell them what's good? As fits the occasion. Now, the next verse says this. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And some people, they don't know how to really interpret this passage. And sometimes they just use this passage in a very general sense. Just don't sin. Because if you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit. But that's not the idea here. Okay, I know I mentioned in the past some Greek words and things like that. All these words are easy to understand. The thing to understand from the Greek is that actually these commands are grouped together in different groups. And the do not grieve the Holy Spirit is actually grouped together with do not speak with corrupting words. So this is a part of the same group. So what is it saying? Why does it say do not grieve the Holy Spirit and connect that to talking about using your words in a better way? The reason is that when you talk about someone else in a bad way, when you slander someone else, when you're gossiping, when you start talking about other people and what they did to you, and you're tearing them down, and you're talking about it with other people, you know what you end up doing is you end up forgetting that God has forgiven that person as a Christian, that God is also working in that person, that maybe that person sinned at the time when they hurt you, but perhaps God is going to work in that person to change them, to help them to realize that that was a wrong thing so that they can grow. But when you just keep talking bad things about them, then you're saying that God is not able to change that person. The Holy Spirit is not working in that person when the Holy Spirit actually is. And you end up speaking not only against that person, you end up speaking against the Holy Spirit. And you grieve the Holy Spirit in that kind of way. The passage ends by saying, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is kind of a summary of everything that was talked about. And by the way, it only mentioned the sixth commandment, the eighth commandment, and the ninth commandment. And actually, let me just show this slide once again. The Ten Commandments is actually, you could divide it into two sections. The first four commandments are about your relationship with God. The latter six commandments are about our relationship with other people. And so when we focus on our relationship with other people, we see the sixth commandment was mentioned, the eighth commandment was mentioned, and the ninth commandment was mentioned. The fifth commandment, the seventh commandment, and the tenth commandment were not mentioned. Why? Because Paul wants to focus on those a little bit more specifically. In the next passage, we're going to address the seventh commandment and the tenth commandment. And then there's a whole big section that actually addresses the fifth commandment. And so we'll get to those in future sermons. Now, as we think about that, this is a summary of the previous passages saying, put off this old self of bitterness and put on the new self, which is the idea of being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I know a lot of times I point out how we want to do this thing, but we can't. We want to do these things, and we try, and we fail. But today, I want to focus a little bit more on the heart that God has given to you. Because a lot of times we could focus on the negative, but let's focus a little bit on the positive today. And the positive is this. The positive is that God, if you are a Christian, if God is working in your heart, then God has placed in you a heart that says, God, I know I fail, but I want to live like this for you. I want to know what your ways are. God, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I keep failing, but God, I want you. I need you to change me. I want you to change my heart. I know you tell me to forgive, but God, it's so hard. But I want to do this. And if you are a Christian, there's this heart that comes out. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to do the good thing. But it's so hard. And if you're honest with yourselves, we come to a point where we say, it's just so hard. I want to live for you, God. But it's so hard. And that's where we come to our last point. We want to be reminded that we are able to live according to the new self, but it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. God has given us that heart that desires to live for the Lord. And yes, we do fail. And yes, we want to continue to admit that. But God has made a way so that our hearts would be changed, so that we would want the Lord, and that He would actually begin to change our hearts so that we actually begin to see the fruit in our lives, so that we begin to actually see the new self being lived out in our lives. And it's going to happen through Christ Jesus. Again, as we look at that last passage, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And that passage ends with Paul pointing to Jesus Christ. I know it's hard, guys. Paul says, I know it's hard. You guys end up hurting each other and there's conflict between you guys. But I want you to be kind to one another and tender-hearted and forgive one another, just as Christ forgave you. And as we think about what Christ did for us, we see that He had every right to be angry about the sin of that particular prostitute. But rather being angry with that prostitute, He sees her, He has compassion on her, and He rescues her from the judgment of all the other people, and He's kind to her. And He says to her, your sins are forgiven. We also see Jesus, when He looked upon the city, He sees their unbelief. And He sees that there's every reason to punish the people for how they were slandering God. How they say God is unjust. God is unkind. God doesn't answer our prayers. But Jesus looked at the city with compassion. And He says, oh, that you would just, I wanted to gather you so many times. Just like a hen, a mother hen gathers the baby chicks into her wings. I wanted to gather you in. And Jesus has that kind of compassion for the city that turned against Him. And He says, I just wish that I could gather you like this, but your hearts are hardened and you will not come to me. And Jesus had every right to pour His wrath upon you. God had every right to pour His wrath upon you. But instead, Jesus was willing to take all the wrath of God upon Himself when He hung on the cross for your sins. And He forgave you. Jesus took our punishment and saved us. And He was kind and compassionate and tender-hearted toward us. And that's our motivation. Because of what Jesus did for us, because of how He was compassionate and tender-hearted toward us, let's look to Jesus and do that for one another here. And as we practice that here, we want to bring that into our daily life out there. And as we do that, we're gonna see that we are being a light to this world. We're being a blessing to this community. I want to just give a couple of practical pointers here about the idea of living daily for the Lord. I want to start off with this idea of putting off the old self, renewing our mind, and then putting on the new self. Every morning you wake up, well, I think for probably 99% of us, we wake up and we change clothes to get to wherever we're going to, right? I don't think anyone sleeps in the clothes that they're going to wear the next day. Right? And so anytime you change clothes, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, have that idea in mind. You're going to put off, as you take off clothing, you're putting off your old self and you're acknowledging that sinful way of living is not going to bring me happiness. And then you turn to your new clothing and you say, in the same way, I'm going to turn to Jesus. And then as you put on the new clothing, you tell yourself, now, because of what Jesus Christ has done, I want to live for the Lord. I want to live in the right way for Him. And every time you change clothes, practice that idea. I'm going to acknowledge that that's sinful, and I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to take that off. I'm going to turn to Jesus, and then I'm going to put on the new clothing, and I want to live for Jesus now. Okay, so every time you change clothes, you can have this thought in mind. Putting off, turning, renewing, and then putting on. The next thing is speak the truth and let others speak the truth to you. We live in a culture here in Taiwan where people don't like to bring up difficult matters. And so a lot of people, they lie to each other. Very simply said, they lie to each other. And maybe it's a cultural way to be nice to one another and to be, you know, try to keep the peace and things like that. And so people say, you know, you ask them, is everything okay? And they say, yep, everything's fine. And they don't come back to the church. Right? Are you okay? Is there something going on between us? Yep, everything's fine. And they're just trying to keep the peace. That's going to break the church apart. And so let me just say it very, very clearly. If there's some issue that you have with someone in this church, be honest and go and talk to the person about it. Have the courage. And have in mind, I want to do this to resolve the issue because this is what's going to build up the church. And I want to make sure that I have in mind putting off the old self and putting on the new so that when I talk to the person, I'm not just going to be angry and sin, but I'm going to speak the truth in love. Also, if you're going to be a person that's able to speak truth to other people, then when people speak truth to you, you have to be willing to accept it. You can't say something like, I can't believe they said that to me. They don't even know who I am. You know, oh, I can't believe that person just said some mean things to me. No. If they're speaking the truth to you, that gives you an opportunity to say, oh, I guess that's part of my old clothing. I need to put that off and then put on the new. And so be willing to listen, to receive what they say, and take that as a moment as, God, what are you teaching me through this? I do want to grow. And even though this person is telling me something that I don't like to hear, but this is helping me to grow and to consider that. All right? And so in this way, this is the way that we continue to practice specifically how we can live daily for the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful love and your kindness toward us. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would remember over and over again that because of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have helped us, you have made it possible that we would put off the old self and put on the new, and that we would be able to live daily for you. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to remind us of these things and that we would be able to live for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.